On January 12th, it's a Friday, 2007, not long ago, at one of the entrances to the Metro, which is Washington, D.C.'s rapid transit system, a young man in a baseball cap and blue jeans took out his violin from his case and he threw a couple of dollars in for seed money and he began to play. Rich sounds, elegant and pure melodies, the likes of which these walls had never before heard. And what happened? Well, for the most part, he was ignored. 1,097 people passed by that morning during the rush commute. But for the most part, he was ignored. $32.17 were in the case at the end of the rush time. But just 3 days prior, this same violinist had performed for a packed house filled to the gills, you might say, at the Boston Symphony. 2 weeks later, he would be where there would be standing room only at the Strathmore Music Center in North Bethesda. But today, only seven people even looked at him and stopped. 27 people quickly threw something in on their way by as they hurried off. But over 1,000 people never even stopped, never even turned to look. He was unnoticed, unrecognized, and for the most part, overwhelmingly ignored. Who was this famous violinist? Who was this violinist? Turns out he was the famous, world-renowned, Grammy Award-winning virtuoso Joshua Bell. Do you know that name? Got a blessing already. But as I said, over 1,000 people just completely ignored him, so busily on their way. See if you recognize any similarity between that story and this one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Has not understood it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Some 2,000 years ago, the Savior of the world was born. It was the first Christmas, but for the most part, it was missed. How do people miss Christmas, you might wonder? How did they miss something such as that? How could they miss an event like that? Let's look this morning at the people who missed Christmas. You know the story, how the Emperor of Rome demanded empire-wide a census to be taken, and everyone had to travel to the city of his birth. So Joseph was traveling from Nazareth south to Bethlehem, about 120 miles, and he also had with him his wife-to-be, Mary. And she was with child. The King James says she was great with child. Looks to be about a 120-mile trip. And once they were in Bethlehem, the days were completed, we're told, for her to give birth. And our text says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Here's the picture. They're in Bethlehem, some 120 miles away from their family and friends who would support them at the time of a birth. And it's not like just 120 miles up to Greenville. You just jump in the car and go down. By donkey, that's a considerable distance. And now the time has come for her to give birth. And they're needing a place for her to give birth to this baby. But the trouble is, there's no room for them in the inn, according to this scripture. There's no place for them in the inn, but there is room for them in the place where the animals are kept. So she delivers her baby, her newborn baby, in a manger, which is a fancy word for feeding trough. We have one of some likeness over here. Next time you stand up, you can take a look, and afterwards you can come up here and touch the thing. Don't we find it appalling, though, that a woman is forced to give birth to her baby in a barn or stable with all the animals and hay and whatever other critters might be in the hay? Don't we find that a bit appalling? But there was no room in the inn, so they really had no choice. Or did they? Wait a minute. Who was it who said there was no room for them in the inn? Well, the innkeeper did. The innkeeper. Now, was this inn, we don't really know what kind of innkeeper he was an innkeeper of, what kind of inn he was an innkeeper of, but was this inn something like we might find up in a small town of South Carolina along the highways and the no vacancy light is lit up? The word is used that way sometimes, or was this word referring to something more along the lines of a guest room in this innkeeper's own home, and it had already become occupied by other travelers, and so therefore there was no room for them in that guest room inn? The word is also used that way. It's used in some other words. We're not really sure what kind of inn is represented by that word inn, but we do know this. There was no room for them in the inn. No room. Other people had rooms. Mary and Joseph did not. The innkeeper most certainly, and his family with him, had a room. Mary and Joseph did not. And no one, seeing this woman in the final hours before delivery, came to her and said, "Here, you can have my room. I'll sleep with the animals." No one did that. The innkeeper missed his opportunity to do that. So that's why Mary delivered her baby in the place where the animals were. And that's how the innkeeper missed the birth of the Savior. That's how the innkeeper missed Christmas. What else does it say? It says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son." Who did? Well, Mary did. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son all by herself. What? No midwife? No other ladies to help her? No, she gave birth to her firstborn son by herself. Do you mean to tell me that the innkeeper could have not realized this woman is about to give birth, and he could have called surely some woman in all of Bethlehem to come and help her give birth? If he's not married, if he doesn't have a wife of his own to call, surely someone in that region. If you knew, ladies, that a woman was about to give birth, would you not, and there was no one to help her, you would run to there. But the innkeeper missed that opportunity as well. He missed the opportunity. The record could have written something like this. It could have said, "There was no room in the inn. So the innkeeper took them and put them in his own room, brought them provisions, and sent quickly for a midwife, while he himself slept with the animals." But it doesn't say that. He missed that opportunity. And these were not barbarians. These were not people who were unaccustomed to these sorts of things. These were Middle Eastern people who prided themselves on their hospitality. But the innkeeper and all of those close to the situation missed the Christ being born. They missed Christmas. Instead, it says she gave birth to her firstborn son, and all she had was Joseph. A man. Enough said, right? First baby, clueless husband. Think about that. So it's not what it says that strikes us as much as maybe what is not said. The innkeeper missed Christmas. Why? Why do you suppose he missed Christmas? Why would you think? Well, I imagine that he had a business to run. You know, customers to get their linens prepared for and needs to meet with all the customers and take them things and water. And I've got a business to run and keep the customers happy, don't you think? And he had his own family to look out for as well. And who are these people? I don't know them. Maybe he didn't know them. And so he was busy Too busy, perhaps. Preoccupied. Not hostile. Just busy. And I wonder if it's any different for us 2,000 years later. We are so busy, hurrying and scurrying here and there. Maybe that's why they call it the human race. We can barely keep our noses above water, can't we? Deadlines and appointments and overtime and meetings and opportunities and responsibilities. And in all of this busyness, we too miss Christmas. So I don't mean that we miss the presents and the parties. We'll do that. But we miss the Christ of Christmas, and we have missed Christmas. The Savior has come into the world, and we're so busy shopping and buying and wrapping and fighting traffic and hanging lights and trimming the tree, just running all the time. We're not hostile either. We're just busy, too busy, wrapped up, so wrapped up that we don't even notice. How easily we can miss Christmas. Well, who else missed Christmas? Another man missed Christmas. His name is Herod. So I've represented him here with these beautiful robes and a crown. Now, Herod, it says in the scripture, let's read it. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, now these Magi are kind of a cast of people who are wise philosophers, wisdom seekers, sages, astrologers, priests type, all rolled into one kind of person. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Well, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Notice that word, disturbed. We'll come back to it in a little bit. He was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "Well, in Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and he said, "Go and make careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me too, so that I may go and worship him." Let's go back to that word, troubled, disturbed. Some of your versions say distroubled. Why was King Herod disturbed or troubled? Why was all Jerusalem disturbed or troubled with him? This word is actually considerably more intense than might be conveyed by this translation. Here are a couple of other instances where this word is used. The disciples were in the boat, the wind and the waves and so forth, and they saw Jesus walking to them on the water, and they were disturbed, right? They were terrified, same word. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. Here's another usage. Paul was preaching in Thessalonica, and the Jews became so jealous, and they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace. They formed a mob. They started a riot in the city, and they rushed to this one man's house named Jason. They dragged him and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting and so on, and the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Mob, riot, all of this, thrown into turmoil. You get the picture? Same word there. They were disturbed, agitated. The word has a range of meaning. Agitated, disturbed, deeply troubled, thrown into confusion, frightened, terrified. That's kind of the range of the meaning. Well, why is it that Herod was disturbed when these Magi come and say, "Where is he who's born king of the Jews?" Why is it that that bothered him so? Well, in order to know, you first have to know a little bit about Herod, this man, this king. They called him the king of Judea. Judea is the southern portion of Israel, modern-day West Bank and lower Israel. And that was where he was the king. He was actually a king under, more of a puppet king under the emperor, a local regional king. And he was quite a colorful character. That's saying it nicely. He was a a suck up to Rome. He went all the way to Rome and sucked up to them so that he could be named king. But there was murder and execution and plotting all throughout his life. And you didn't want to be his friend because you didn't live too long. His brother-in-law, his wife's brother, he got to feeling one day that he was a threat. This man happened to be the high priest as well. But he got to feeling that he was a threat, so on a hot day he said to his friend, "Hey, let's go swimming." So Herod dove in the water, and then his friend dove in, and Herod had arranged for other men to dive in as well, and as soon as they did, they drowned this brother-in-law friend. And then at the funeral, Herod just wept like it was a total accident. Well, the thing needed for later on to murder his wife, and then he murdered his mother-in-law, and then he began to suspect two of his sons, so he had them executed, and later yet another son he killed, and another wife and her son, he decided he'd be nice to them, he just banished them completely from the kingdom. You get the idea? At the end of his life, he was such a rascal, he realized that everybody was going to be dancing and singing the moment he died. He was near death, and he knew it, and everybody else knew it, and he could just tell that there wouldn't be a single tear for him when he died. He wanted people to weep, so he went to Jericho, and he gathered up a number of prominent citizens in that region, and he had them arrested and gave the orders that at the moment he died, these prominent citizens were to be executed, put to death. That way there would be weeping and crying when he died. That's the kind of man he was. Well, why was he disturbed? You can get the picture that he was disturbed. "Where is he who's born king of the Jews? I'm the king of the Jews," Herod said. And furthermore, the chief priests come back and say, "Well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, which is part of Judea. That's my backyard. That's my turf." Herod had every reason, this jealous, insecure, paranoid man, every reason to be frightened that a baby was born. Interestingly, he died a year later. This was near the end of his life. But that's the kind of man he was. So he was deeply troubled. Now you know a little bit more about that word. Deeply troubled, deeply agitated, unsettled about what these men were saying, these wise men from the East. So how did this desperately insecure man respond when he heard of the Christ child's birth? Well, he called the people together, he found out where he was to be born, he sent these rulers on, and then he called these priests back and he said, "Where is he to be born?" And they told him, boy, something happened. Okay. We'll just hang tight on that one. He called these people. He had learned from the scribes and rulers that he was to be born in Bethlehem. Well, these wise men went on to Bethlehem and met the Christ child and worshipped him. But God appeared to them in a dream and said, "Don't go back to Herod." So they went back by another way. When Herod realized that he'd been tricked by these wise men and hadn't been told where this Christ child, this one born king of the Jews, was, he went into an absolute rage, and he went to Bethlehem, and he had every male child, 2 years old and under, slaughtered. That's how this insecure, paranoid, fearful man responded when he heard there was a child born that might be a king. He slaughtered them all. Why did Herod miss Christmas? Herod missed Christmas because of fear. Jealous, insecure, paranoid fear. He was absolutely appalled that someone might take away his rulership. You know, the same sort of fear exists for us today, 2,000 years later. Maybe not the same way as Herod, that we have a kingdom to protect, but then again, maybe we do have a kingdom to protect. It's our own little empire. We want to be the rulers of our own kingdom. We want to be the ones in charge of our lives. It's my life. It's my career. It's my position. These are my plans, we say. And we become deathly afraid, jealously panicky, just like Herod, that someone will take the rulership of our life away from us. Who is he who is born king of the Jews? He's the king of the universe. He wants to be king of every life. And we say, no way, that's far enough. So we relegate him to Christmas lullabies and Christmas carols. We're okay with him being in the manger, but we do not want him having the crown to our lives. So some people miss Christmas because they are too busy, like perhaps the innkeeper was. Some people miss Christmas because they are fearful that the king will make demands on the throne of their lives, like Herod was afraid that that king would unseat him from the throne. Let's look to see if there is another group. There is. See if you can spot who they are in this passage. A third group that missed Christmas. So Herod called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, and he asked them where the Christ was to be born. Well, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. He called together what group of people? The chief priests and the scribes and the religious rulers. These are the ones who were the theological experts of the day. They knew the scriptures backwards and forwards. They knew all. They had studied it. This was their life's vocation. They were the theologians of the day. And he went to them and he said, where is the Christ child to be born? And the way it answers it, it says they replied. It doesn't look like they even had to look it up. They knew what the scriptures said. They said, well, it's in Bethlehem in Judea. Everyone knows that. They knew exactly where the Christ child was to be born. But did they ever go to check it out? We have no record that they did. They knew the facts. They knew the history. They knew the prophecies. They could probably have quoted them in their sleep. But we have no record that they ever went to Jerusalem to check it out. And I find that especially interesting because of the increasing frequency of supernatural things that have been going on in recent times. You want to remember some of them? You remember there was one of their own, a priest. His name was Zacharias, and he was offering the sacrifice in the temple. And while he was there, an angel appeared to him and spoke to him and said, Zacharias, you and your aged wife are going to have a child. She's well past childbearing years. And you're going to name him John, and he will be the forerunner for this one who is to be the Messiah. So that came about, and the word spread all throughout the hills, the Bible says. All the whole region. That word was traveling. People were anticipating something is happening. And there were all sorts of people all around these events bursting into spontaneous prophecy during these different events when the child was born. And then when Mary was told she also was with child, bursting into prophecy, and these things traveling like wildfire throughout the region. And now the shepherds arrive and they say, angels appeared to us in heaven and they told us there's this baby born and he's laid in a manger, and we went and we saw and we found it just like it was. And these things are being told all throughout the region. 8 days after Jesus was born, he's taken to the temple to be dedicated, and two more people erupt into spontaneous prophecy as if the Holy Spirit took over them and took charge of their lips and their mouths about this child. And so now these scribes and Pharisees, these theologians, these experts in all of God's truth, they're asked by Herod, where's the Christ child to be born? They had to have been hearing these things. Yeah, we know the answer to that. It's Bethlehem. Do you know how far south Bethlehem is from Jerusalem? About 5 miles. They never even went. Why did they never even go to check it out, to see if possibly this one that our whole nation has been yearning for, they've been looking for this promised Messiah, the one who would deliver them, both in a spiritual sense, but also in a political sense now, this oppressive Rome that is over us. We want long to be freed and have the deliverer that's been promised. Why did they never even take this small, you know, what is that? 3 miles an hour walking speed, hour and a half, 2 hours to go down there and check it out. They never even did that. Why do you suppose that would be? Well, I have to wonder. I have to wonder if perhaps they missed it because they were caught up so much in the system of their religion. that they missed the person of Christ. I was talking with Ken Estes this week, and he said, God wants us to focus on the person of Christ, of his Christ child. But these people perhaps were so focused on the system of their religion, the externals, the services, the offerings, the sacrifices, all the do's, all the don'ts, when you do it, how you do it, all the externals. And they were so focused on all of this that they missed the Christ child. They missed Christmas. They didn't even go check it out. You know, religion is one of the most dangerous things because religion is marked by externals. It's not about religion, God says. It's about a relationship. It's a relationship with this one born in a manger, Jesus Christ. That's why we say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? We're not asking if you've been to church, given money, done this or done that. We're asking, God is asking the question, do you have a personal relationship with my son, Jesus Christ? The one who died on the cross, yes, he was born as a baby to grow up and die on the cross for your sins. Have you repented and come into faith relationship with Jesus Christ? That's the question. And it looks as if these religious leaders were so bound up in the religion, they couldn't see the forest for the trees. And the same thing can happen to us as well. Are you trying to win God's approval by some external things, what you do or you don't do? Are you working on a checklist so you can feel good about yourself? Religion can cause you to miss the Christ of Christmas. It's about a relationship. Well, there were others who missed Christmas as well. It says all Jerusalem was troubled with Herod at the arrival of these wise men. But we have no record that they went either. Perhaps it was an inconvenient time. Maybe he came when there was a particular big sale going on. I don't know. Maybe it was end year audit. I don't know. Whatever the case, they didn't go. Maybe it was because they were confused. After all, this baby is born in a manger. We've been hearing these rumors. Why not a palace? Isn't that the way a king should come? No? Maybe they were offended at the way God did it. After all, shepherds were some of the lowest of the low. Why did they get the announcement? Maybe the religious leaders were ticked about that as well. So they wrote it off. I don't know. But all Jerusalem was troubled. This word spread through the whole region and then all Jerusalem when the Magi arrived. But they never went and checked it out either. And then there were the Romans, and might represent them by these columns. The Romans, they're the ones who ordered this census in the first place, aren't they? That's what got Joseph and Mary moving from Nazareth to Bethlehem, that 120-mile or so trip. How many Roman soldiers did they pass along the way? How many census takers? And once in Bethlehem, how many officials recorded and tallied and passed along to their superiors the Bethlehem count, which, by the way, now included one more little baby named Jesus? Well, good. That just means more revenue for the emperor, more to tax. No, the Romans, the tax collectors, the census takers, the soldiers, they missed it. Why? Maybe they had an empire to build. After all, some of the finest roads came from that empire. Buildings, cities, infrastructure. Whatever the case, maybe building that empire was much more important than some baby born out in a stable with the hay and the animals, don't you think? Well, you know, empire building can get the best of all of us, each of us. Empire building has a way of distracting us from what God is trying to speak in some maybe different way. And we're so fixated on building our own little empires, our homes, our nice homes, our nice cars, our nice things, our retirement portfolios, our resumes. We're building this empire. And empire building has a way of taking our eyes away from the Christ child. And empire builders miss Christmas. He came to his own. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The world did not recognize him. His own did not receive him. How many people missed Christmas, missed that first Christmas? Well, Christmas is just around the corner for us, and now the question is for us, will we miss Christmas? Will we miss it because we're too busy? This woman who gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Will we miss it because we were too busy? Will we miss it because we are fearful of a king making demands on the throne of our life? Will we miss it because we're caught up in religion? Will we miss it because it doesn't sound like we expected it to sound? Will we miss it because we are busy building our empires? I hope that you will not miss the Christ of Christmas this year. I hope that you will not miss Christmas. As the song says, we didn't know who you was. Don't miss Christmas.